everyone, welcome back to the Real Love Film Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Connor Rock, and with me is my other host, Justin Lozada.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going?
Hey, going good. How about you?
Hey, going good. So it's been a hot minute since we've sat down and chatted. What have you been up to? I know that you went back back east actually just recently, right?
I took a little time off. At least I went home for about 9 days, so I took some time off of work and flew back east, specifically to North Carolina, flew into Raleigh. In this pandemic environment, it's the first time I actually have flown since everything has happened since March. A little nervous at first, but it really wasn't that bad. So even though it wasn't the trip back home that I normally do, where I'm all out and about visiting a lot of people, you know, I played it more close to home, which was just fine with me. But it was a good trip overall, and good to see everybody.
Sweet. Glad to hear it. As for me, I'm still not working. I'm still currently waiting it out, waiting for cases to get a little better. I'm grateful to have a job that's allowing me to do that, to kind of stay unemployed for a little bit longer. So I'm grateful for that. I've been watching a few movies. I've been rewatching a lot more movies. I think since the last time we recorded, I went to go to a drive-in. It's a pop-up drive-in here in Palm Springs. And I went and saw Jurassic Park, the original Jurassic Park, which was a ton of fun. I've also been, and I hope that listeners can kind of get this eventually, but I'm a big Disney guy, and I went to Downtown Disney, and we had some, went to a place called Black Tap, which is a really good burger place and shake place. Super yummy. That was a lot of fun. So what have you been watching, Justin? What have, besides our main review, which we're going to discuss the movie Host.
Oh, man. What have I been watching? Well, Host, I just actually finished it up not too long ago. If you have the Shudder movie app or the Shudder Horror streaming app, highly recommend it. Breezy 50-minute, timely and relevant horror film. Really good. As far as what have I been watching?
Even if it's just rewatching.
Yeah. Let's see. Last time I went to a drive-in, I saw The Karate Kid and loved every moment of it. It was awesome. In fact, I ain't gonna lie, I even dressed up like I was back in 1984. Shit was hot. It was hot. I loved it, though.
Yes.
Going to the movies, especially a drive-in experience now, it's really awesome. I live in Denver, so here in certain cities, cinemas are going to reopen this weekend. So I will be taking the risk. Russell Crowe, you better deliver on this damn movie that I'm risking myself for. But I'm going to see Unhinged on Friday night, and I'm going to see Peninsula, which is the second film in the Train to Busan zombie Korean film series. So those will be.
I just read a pre-review of that. I'm excited. I love Train to Busan. I think it was a surprisingly emotional movie.
It's like, an awesome film. It did. It really did. So those are my two inaugural, return to cinema films. I will definitely share that experience with you on the next podcast to let you know how it is. And, you know, it's totally understandable if people are apprehensive about going back into a film auditorium at this time. I wouldn't judge anybody at all who decided to, you know, just wait a little bit longer.
Question real quick.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I know that a lot of the theater chains are doing something that's a little bit different, where you can actually rent out a complex or a theater.
Absolutely.
And I think it's 120 something bucks. It's not really that ridiculous.
It's really not that bad. So I know Alamo Drafthouse, they're doing it starting at $150. I'm really, really considering doing it. I'm probably going to hit up some friends and ask them if they would want to join me in doing that, you know, just to, you know, see the, you know, friends I haven't seen in a long while. But also, yeah, it would be cool just to, you know, have a private viewing And so I saw the film list from Alamo Drafthouse, and they have a pretty good selection of films that you can choose for you and your private viewing party.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. That's the thing. I'm of the mind that I'm probably not going to be going back to theaters until, I honestly, it might not be until we have a valid vaccine. But that's just my choice. And like everyone, I think we all have that right to make that choice. I was reading the Alamo Drafthouse email, and the way they're doing things feels like they're taking the next step and being even more safe than I would say Cinemark and AMC are. I really appreciated, like, even they had a...
They are definitely, they're making the claim that it is safer than a supermarket.
That's a big claim.
That's
did you see claim. That little, there was like a PSA that they sent out that was this cute little
eight-bit video. Yeah, I watched it yesterday, actually. And so I'm very confident in the chains and what they're doing. AMC, Regal, even Regal's was a little creepy though, but
that announcer guy, if anyone hasn't seen it, you should definitely Google it. It was, their introductory video. And the guy is just really, really enthusiastic, and it's a little disturbing.
He is. And I'm hoping people, when they go, they make sure to please take precaution. I mean, I'm not the mask police, but at the same time, I hope people please take this seriously in the locations where they can, because, I mean, that's film has always been an escape. And those venues down, you know, the employees and everybody should be able to feel safe in that environment. And so I hope people are definitely wearing masks. Just definitely please take it seriously, you know, for those who decide to venture back out. But, you know, with pop-up drive-ins and, you know, drive-ins in areas that do have them and everything, there's still ways to enjoy the magic of film, even at home itself, too, because I've I'll put it this way. I think I'm in the market for a new home theater receiver because it's been getting a workout.
Tell the listeners what kind of receiver you have, because you definitely don't have – it's not a slouch.
And it's definitely not the top of the line either. So I have a Onkyo. That's the gear that I normally use. So in the bedroom and in the living room, both of those receivers are Onkyo. The one in the living room is just a little more high-end. It's a THX. Came out in 2017.
You have 7.0, don't you?
I am rocking. So the setup I do have in the living room, it is it's a Dolby Atmos setup. The Atmos configuration is 5.1.2, meaning that 5 full channels, 1 subwoofer, and then 2 height channels, you know, for Dolby Atmos and DTS:X. And then when I'm not using the height channels, then it's a regular 7.1 setup. The bedroom has Dolby Atmos as well. In fact, the subwoofer in the bedroom is definitely a lot louder. No neighbor complaints. Nobody has threatened to evict me, so obviously I'm doing it right.
Success.
Yeah.
I know. I've thought for a long time about upgrading my speakers. We actually have like a decent system, and every time I talk about it, it drives my husband nuts. But I was thinking. Because this is his system, and he prides it. He's like, no, it's great. The system that I want is it's a wire, like a Bluetooth system. Maybe you can think of it, Justin. I was trying to Google it, and I couldn't. My brain was.
It's about wireless speaker setup.
Yeah, what's like a thinking of that main brand that I know.
It would be nice for everything to be wireless because. In the bedroom, I don't have wires going all over the place. So the two back surround channels are wireless. So I have a wireless speaker setup. Rocketfish, they're the ones who have the wireless speaker kit. So I use that in the bedroom and even in the living room as well for the two back channels. So that way I don't have just wires running all over the place.
Very nice. No, I was going to say, so you, besides the movie that we're reviewing today and besides going to see Karate Kid, Have you been watching anything else?
Now that HBO Max has decided to put back some of their slightly more controversial titles, Gone with the Wind and Blazing Saddles, they're back with disclaimers. I've actually watched Blazing Saddles recently. Mel Brooks, to me, it's Mel Brooks' best comedy. It's one of the few films where I laugh before the movie even starts because it's just that funny. And so I think that was the last film I had watched recently besides Host.
Sonos was the Bluetooth speaker that I was looking at.
Sonos
that
was the nice. One that I really Sonos is yeah. very nice.
And the Play One speaker, which is like their main center speaker.
Center channel, yeah.
You can kind of add from there. But it just the sound quality I've heard is really good. I have an Apple speaker. And you can actually use that as a form of speaker. It's pretty good. It fills the room pretty well, but I don't know if it's good enough for me to start using that as a speaker. But anyway, no, I wanted to talk about what I've been watching. So I've been rewatching the X-Men films. I'm right now, I've made it up to X-Men First Class. And then I just started watching the show The Kominsky Method, which is on Netflix, with Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin.
I've heard great things about that one.
Really good. Great, super funny, well acted. Alan Arkin is always great, and so is Michael Douglas. Will said it kind of reminded me of the grumpier old man movies, which is a fun thing. And other than that, it's been so long since we've done this. I don't really remember what I've watched in the interim since the last podcast.
So I've been trying to keep a film diary or like a film watch diary just to, you know, write down the films I have watched recently as well. So in fact, the last two I had in there was Palm Springs, which if you haven't seen Palm Springs, fucking hilarious. It's on
Hulu. Yeah, we actually recorded a podcast about it.
Yeah.
And it's we didn't awesome. Release it.
Yeah. That was rough. It was rough. You won't get to hear the director's cut on that podcast. Nah. We'll have to revisit that one.
It's a big old mess.
But we highly
talked
recommend
for a good
it.
Like 40 minutes, I think, too.
We did.
It wasn't like a short mess up.
That's where we just definitely just went off the tracks on that one. And we you want to talk about improvisation. That was the definition of it right there. And Amy, the documentary on Amy Winehouse. Which is really good. So a lot of the A24 films that originally were on Amazon Prime and then they migrated over to Netflix are now on Showtime. So a lot of those early A24 titles such as Room, Ex Machina, Moonlight, all of those titles are now migrating slowly over to Showtime, I guess, as they now have a distribution deal with A24. So, in fact, recently, one of the more recent titles I got on Blu-ray was finally, there's a domestic UHD release of Ari Aster's Midsommar in director's cut format. So
I can't remember. Have you seen Midsommar? Midsommar?
I did.
What'd you think?
I had to digest that film. Wow.
The first what is it in the first 10 minutes if you make it through that first 10 minutes then
yeah.
That's intense. if you've seen Hereditary,
oh like god,
you have an idea for what you're in for. It definitely definitely leads with like a similar gut punch in the first 10 minutes,
yeah,
similar to what Hereditary does. I'm not going to say anymore, but
the thing about Midsommar is it's a oh god. Okay, the original cut is 150 minutes. The director's cut is 171 minutes. So, I mean, to me, in terms of the director's cut, it's definitely good. I'm a little more partial towards the original, slightly shorter cut. But
yeah, it's already a pretty long movie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's already two and a half hours.
Almost pushing like 2.5 hours. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a fantastic movie. I saw it in theaters, and because it kind of bowled me over so much I haven't watched it again, but I'd like to. especially with the announcement of there was a recent press release regarding his new movie that's coming out, Ari Aster's new film. I think it comes out in 2021.
I think next year, if you want to revisit Midsommar, it's currently on Amazon Prime, still available.
When I think about Midsommar, I think about kind of the current kind of highbrow horror, and kind of where horror's gone with kind of a little more meat on the bones, a little more to say. And it leads in, I think, really nicely to what we're going to be talking about today. I don't think that Host is by any means like a high drama or high concept horror. I'm trying to think of the term. There's a term or like a phrase that I've been hearing for what I'm thinking of is movies like Get Out, movies like Us, movies like Hereditary and It Follows and such. They're just a bit more to say than a traditional horror movie. I was thinking about The Lighthouse, which is Robert Eggers' second feature.
I still gotta watch that
after The Witch. Yeah, it's. I need to watch that movie too. I really do. But anyway, I say we just get into the main review here.
Let's do it.
Hey.
Hi guys.
Hey, girls.
Tina.
Hi. Caroline.
Hi, Teddy. Hi.
Let's do a shot glass to us.
Okay, everyone, get in. 3, 2, 1.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
I've never done this over Zoom. Obviously, we're not physically together, but there's no reason why Spirit can't communicate over the internet.
Nothing's gonna happen.
Visualize us sitting in a circle. Spirit, we invite you to use us to pass on any communication. Is there anyone there? Please come forth.
What was that? Amy, was that you?
I heard it.
No, I heard something.
I think there's something here.
Did you see that?
Oh, Emma.
No. That's funny.
There's something. You know, we've connected with something. We gotta keep going. We gotta talk to it.
So we're going to be talking about the movie The Host, and let's give you a bit of a plot synopsis for you guys. So it's during an online seance, six friends accidentally invite the attention of a demonic presence. They're using Zoom, which is very, very fitting for the current moment.
Impressed. A 57-minute horror film with UK origins, because the movie is, has a predominantly English cast. It's an exclusive on the Shudder streaming service, which is $5 a month, and I think you get the first month for free. So if you're curious and want to check it out after listening to this, maybe just start up an account for 30 days and then just cancel it before the 30 days, and you got to see a pretty cool little horror film. But what I loved about it is its production values. It's nothing elaborate. It's just a few actors, you know, pretty much in front of a computer camera, like a Zoom meeting, which a lot of us, I'm sure, has become so accustomed to during these times right now. And for 57 minutes, viewers are actually pretty much given a true fright. Because I was watching it on a phone, which I highly recommend. Watch it on a phone or a tablet with some headphones. Because it definitely adds to the atmosphere.
Oh, it's fantastic. Thank you for doing that, Justin. Sorry to leave you hanging there for a second. I love Host. I actually think it's one of the better movies I've seen this year. Just really smart horror, really tight. It really gets into kind of the scares really quickly. That's one thing I really liked about it. And what was really fun is I actually watched it on a laptop with headphones in, which I think is one movie, and I wouldn't recommend this for a lot of movies, but this is one movie I would recommend doing that for. Just because it felt like I was part of the Zoom chat, because I've definitely done my fair share of Zoom meetings in this quarantine time. And it was just really super well acted, super good production design. There's a lot of like really good attention to detail in the film. I wanted to kind of talk about a few things that I noticed. But I'll get into those when we get into kind of spoiler talk. But I just wanted to let you guys know it's definitely worth watching. It's not, because it's not on like a main service, like a Netflix or a Hulu. It's something that I definitely want you guys to make sure that you check out. And I highly recommend it. Definitely one of the best movies that I've seen this year. Are you ready to get into spoilers, Justin?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you ready to get into a bit more like spoiler discussion where we talk about the movie in detail?
We're about to spoil the shit out of this.
Okay, let's go. One thing that I really loved about the movie is I was kind of talking about like the attention to detail. I noticed kind of even in the first frames of the movie, when we first start with Emma, and that she's kind of sitting, getting the Zoom meeting set up for her friends that are going to jump on and do the seance. And you see little things in the frame that I wasn't quite certain if I was imagining or not, like little eyes. I don't know if you noticed that at all, but it was there throughout. When there's the first kind of jump scare of the movie is her broom and mop falling out of the closet, which got me pretty good. There was a couple times where the movie actually scared me enough that I turned down the volume on my computer.
So that was me. Guilty. Quite a bit. No, you are not the only one, because I had the volume like full blast. And then I was like, all right, now let me just slowly just lower this just a little bit.
Yeah, it got me. It was, I mean, jump scares can sometimes be a little bit cheap. I know some people would say that, but this I feel like cheap. All of the jump scares were very earned. Yeah, very, very not cheap at all. As the movie kind of gets going, so it starts with Emma. She's setting up the seance, and she's getting it going. One of her friends, I watched the movie a couple times, or a few parts of it a couple times, and I was confused. There was a scene where someone throws a rock at her window, and they're saying, come on, come on. And I didn't realize that that was one of the friends that was part of the chat. And she was asking her to invite her on the Zoom, into the Zoom meeting. That confused me a little bit. I didn't quite follow with that. But anyway, once everyone gets on, then we kind of get introduced to the characters in a really smart way, especially for such a short movie. They do a really good job of kind of getting you to like these people. And the seance kind of starts, and the things I wanted to talk about. So they're in the movie. Basically what happens is they create a demon out of their own lies. One of the characters basically lies about a trauma that she had in school. She tells the lady that's leading the seance, she tells her, oh, I had a good friend in school who ended up unfortunately hanging himself. It was this big ordeal. And then later when things start to kind of go awry, she says, I faked that. That wasn't real. No one was talking and I was bored, so I made it up. And then after that, that's when the movie ratchets up to 11. And you start to see a lot more things in frame. I don't know if you noticed, but in every character's house, there was something referenced the demon, like a noose. There was a lot of noose imagery. I think it was in like three or four of their houses. There was something that was similar to a noose. Let's see here. What did I say? I know one thing that was, I was thinking also, all the characters. So this film was, it was filmed in the last, in like April or May. So during this quarantine. So when any of the characters leave the house, they're wearing a mask. And there was a scene where one of the characters, she's leaving the house and she puts on a mask and she puts it below her nose.
Below her nose.
I was like, oh, and I was like, I don't know if they were doing that on purpose or if it was just like an oversight, but it was like, oh, that felt very.
I caught myself saying too. I'm like, put your mask up.
any movie about 2020 had to have something like that. Had to have a mask joke. So I appreciated that. Also, one thing I wanted to talk about. So, the movie had basically the way they did a lot of it, from what I can understand, is every actor had their own camera that they were filming their accounts. I think they all were like sent a camera, if I remember right. And
they were all filmed remotely.
Okay. Yeah. Correct. And then they added a lot of the jump scares, a lot of it, because you do see the demon on screen a few times, and a lot of it was done just with post work, with adding in the special effects. What am I getting at? Forgive me one second here, guys. I don't know that. Honestly, I'm kind of coming at a loss here of my thoughts, but I really loved this movie. I really loved how inventive it was. I really loved the acting. I definitely highly recommend it. Other than that, I'm running at a loss. This might be a short episode because I've got a lot to say about this movie.
I'll put it this way. I was impressed. I mean, just everything about it. This is what filmmaking is about. And, you know, it's nice to have a break from big budget tempo films with, you know, big stars in it. That I don't know who the hell any of these folks are. Connor and I were talking about this earlier. He said that I reminded him of the Blair Witch Project, which definitely puts me in that frame of mind as well, where I thought that the actors in Blair Witch, I thought everybody really died on screen.
Yep.
And yeah, dude, I mean, fool the hell out of me. But that's sort of the case here. It's just pure filmmaking, nothing 100%. Elaborate. And that's what I loved about it.
I could see this happening. There was a film website called Slash Film, and they did a seance, a live seance, kind of in tribute with the cast members. And it just feels like this feels somewhat likely. Like it, I don't know. Not that I believe in.
I'm gonna put it this way, man. I don't fuck around with stuff like that. I just don't. Growing up,
no.
My mom was like, no. in my mom's household growing up, there's no white magic, no black magic. You know, me being a smartass, I'm like, what about Puerto Rican magic? She was like, you know what I mean. My mom just didn't want spirits or nothing in the house.
Very true. I was thinking about with this movie. Did you ever see, there was I think it was 2 years ago, we really had a resurgence in this genre. We had the Unfriended movies, both one and two. And then we also had films called Searching. Ouija.
Yeah, Ouija.
But yeah. Wasn't Ouija wasn't done through a computer screen, was it?
No, But as far as like movies that take place, computer screen. Yeah. Unfriended was the first one I remember back in 2015, and the follow up, Unfriended Dark Web.
Did you ever see the movie Searching with John
Cho? I have not. John Cho, I have not.
That's a fantastic movie. Super great. Highly recommend it. Also does a lot of really fun things with the premise and the concept. And it goes away from horror. It's more of like a mystery. But what I really appreciated about this movie is it took kind of a limiting idea, in like a Zoom meeting. And it really, like, it used all those limitations. This is the idea. This is kind of what good art is it takes limitations and actually makes those strengths. I think about, you know, all the times there near the end of the movie, you start to see that little timer countdown of the Zoom call is running near the end of the hour, which if you don't, I don't know if all of you guys know this, but if you don't pay for Zoom, after the first hour,
you only get an hour for free. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You have to pay for it if you want more than an hour. So the movie ends with that timer running out. So it kind of, it becomes a natural climax to the movie. And also I also wanted to talk about the credits of the movie were really clever, which were basically just if you go into a Zoom chat and you're scrolling through all the people that are part of that Zoom meeting, you'll see like all them all listed as participants. Mm-hmm. And that was how the cast and crew and the cinematographer, that's how they were all listed. It felt like it was neatly done in this kind of constraint. And I appreciated that. I'm excited to see where this filmmaker goes with this movie. Because if you can do that with just these limited constraints, then I can only imagine what you can do with a bigger budget and like an actual film crew and actual sets.
Yeah. To me, I would think it's like one of the first true filmmaking products of COVID-19. And it succeeded on every level. I think right now it has a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So well deserved. I was impressed.
It was funny that final scare. I was thinking this in my head the whole time. The final scare where they're basically using the camera as a way to kind of track this ghost, which was a super, it reminded me very much of some of the fun little gags in the Paranormal Activity movies.
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Have you, in one of the Paranormal Activity movies, they've mounted a camera on a fan as a way yep. to kind of within the movie's world, capture different shots. And that, the camera thing reminded me a little bit about that. It was like, oh, this is a fun little quirk, a fun little idea. So they're taking pictures of this ghost. And actually, one of the times, the first time that Emma uses the camera, you see in the background, if you look, there's a man hanging. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Okay.
I know, so when I saw it, let's put it this way. Watching this little film on a phone, I was sort of curled up in my seat just a little bit. I try not to be such a scaredy cat, but I was like, nah, man, this movie totally owned me.
No, man, I totally get it. Cause my expectations, they weren't super high. Like I didn't know what to expect from a movie like this. So when the movie started to get going and it was like, oh, this is legit, like terrifying and like it really works. I was like, okay, I was taking this movie for granted and I really need to like strap in because I'm not ready for the scares that are going to come. I would give, if anyone that's made it this far that hasn't watched the movie, I would definitely be ready for a really scary movie. Like it's very effective. I highly recommend it. Any other thoughts on this movie before we call it quits? I know this is a short one, but it's kind of,
It's all good. I feel the same way. Highly recommend it. Even if you don't want to keep the service, the Shudder service. Like I said, give it a try for about, you know, a month or not even a month. Just give it a couple of weeks. I'm not a paid representative of Shudder or anything like that. And I know people are probably tired of subscribing to streaming services. But like I said, this one is definitely dedicated to horror. And they have some actually really good exclusive content on there. So definitely give it a stream or give it a try if you like.
And I kind of wanted to start something where we kind of talk about the next movie that we're going to be reviewing on the podcast. Mulan is going to be coming out in a couple weeks on the 4th. And I'd love to review that movie. I know that the kind of budget, the entry point for a lot of people is a little much. It's $30 plus you have to be subscribed to Disney Plus. What's really cool though about the movie is you're going to be able to watch it over and over again if you pay for it once. So that should be a really fun time. Hope you guys join us for that one. Other than that, I hope you guys have a fantastic day. Thank you so much for tuning in and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. All right, later.